I expect some of you might have been able to guess where I would like to read tonight, which is in Luke chapter 14, which is on page 1247, is my translation of the Bible. Luke chapter 14, and starting at verse 15. Luke 14, verse 15. And one of those that were lying at table with them, hearing these things, said to them, "Blessed is he who shall eat bread in the kingdom of God." And he said to him, "A certain man made a great supper and invited many. And he sent his bondman at the hour of supper to say to those who were invited, 'Come, for already all things are ready.' And all began without exception to excuse themselves. The first said to him, 'I've bought land and I must go out and see it. I pray thee, hold me for excused.' And another said, 'I've bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, hold me for excused.' And another said, 'I've married a wife, and on this account I cannot come.' And the bondman came up and brought back word of these things to his lord. And the master of the house, in anger, said to his bondman, 'Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring here the poor and crippled and lame and blind.' And the bondman said, 'Sir, it is done as thou hast commanded, and there is still room.' And the Lord said to the bondman, 'Go out into the ways and fences and compel to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say to you that not one of those men who are invited shall taste of my supper.'" We've probably heard this passage spoken of in the gospel many times, but it's such a clear picture of the message of salvation and the blessing that you and I can come into because of what God has provided. There's so much in this little section here that speaks so clearly of what God has done in providing a way, an invitation to come into his blessing. And I started at verse 15 to sort of get a bit more of the context, but the story that Jesus told, the story really begins in verse 16. And it starts with a certain man making a great supper and invited many. You know, you think about the care, the time, the efforts, and the cost involved to that man here making that great supper. He's put this this great feast on, this great gathering together. And it's cost him possibly a lot of time, a lot of effort, and probably a lot of money involved, a lot of cost involved in getting this great supper prepared and ready. And you know, that's a great picture of the care and the time and the effort and the cost that's been involved in God preparing blessing and God preparing salvation so that you and I can come into it. There's a great cost that was involved on God's part to bring, to have the opportunity tonight for the gospel message, the invitation to go out. This wasn't, we often talk about the gospel being a free gift of salvation. And to us, it is a free gift. It's something that we receive from God. But on God's side, there was a huge, in fact, an infinite amount of cost involved. Because in order for this invitation to go out in the gospel tonight, as I'm speaking to you, and as you've heard the gospel message go out through many, many years probably sitting here, the great cost of the gospel message was met by God, because it involved him having to give his beloved son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die on your behalf, to die on my behalf, so that he could come out towards you tonight in blessing. And you can come in to this great supper, this great blessing, this great salvation that God has provided, prepared with effort, with time, and with care, and with love. Because, do you know, dear friend, God is a God who loves you. God is a God who desires that you come into this blessing. God is a God that has given everything so that you can come in. And the invitation has gone out. And dear friend, the message of the gospel is that invitation. It's going out tonight. The offer of salvation is there on the table. And all that's required of you tonight, dear friend, is to respond to that invitation. That's all that God requires of you tonight, is to come and to realize the depths of sin that you are in, to realize that there is for you, a poor sinner, no way out, but that he has provided a way whereby you can come into blessing. We have what a picture it is here of God having provided everything so that you can come in tonight in blessing. And as I said, God desires your soul tonight. God desires you to come into this blessing. And you know, this feast here, it certainly in the passage, in the story here, it's a great supper. This must have been a great big event. And there would have been nothing like it. And you know, it's the same in the gospel, because there's nothing, dear friend, that can come close to the blessing that God wants to give you tonight. There's nothing that can come close to the joy and the peace and the satisfaction of knowing God as your Savior. There's nothing that the world can offer that can come close to what God can provide for you in the gospel by coming to know Him as a Savior. Dear friend, tonight, what the world will offer you, you can see it in the next chapter in Luke 15. You have a man there, the prodigal son, who decided that he'd rather have the things down here, the temporary pleasures, the Bible calls them, rather than having the eternal things that are described at the end of Luke chapter 15, the great feast that was provided at the end of Luke 15. And you know, dear friends, the world will try and tempt you in. The Bible talks about the temporary pleasures of sin. And there'd be no point me standing here tonight without admitting to you that what the world can offer can be very pleasurable, can be very attractive, can be very, as human beings, we seem almost magnetized towards the things of the world. But the Bible describes them as temporary pleasures. And that's the key word, is temporary. Because as you go through this world, and perhaps you see people go and go in for everything that this world has to offer, but it never lasts. There's nothing in this world that will ever last. There's nothing in this world that will truly satisfy. There's nothing in this world that can ever plug that missing gap that you've got in your life, that desire you have for satisfaction. People walk around this world looking for something that will give them, their soul, that sense of satisfaction. People get into all sorts of things because they want that satisfaction in their life. We often refer in John 4 to the woman in John 4 who tried many, many things to try and get that, to try and scratch that itch, as it were. But dear friend, there's nothing that can come close. There's nothing this world can offer that can even touch what God is offering you in the glad tidings tonight. There's nothing that that the world wants to give you tonight that can't be infinitely bettered by what God has provided in the giving of His Son and in the blessings that are involved in coming to know Him as your personal Savior. And so we have this great feast, this great blessing that's involved. And then the message that goes out, the invitation that goes out, is come, all things are ready. Come, for already all things are ready. And you know, what a foundation that is of the gospel, to know that everything has been done completely. The foundation has been set for the gospel message. God is able to say, come, for all things are ready. That word come is one of the foundational words, I suppose, of the whole gospel message. You get it time and time again through scripture. This idea of come. God's done everything. And now all that is left to do is to come. The Bible talks in Isaiah about come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. And you see, it's those sins, dear friend, that have separated you from God. But God is saying, come. God is saying, let's reason together. Though your sins be like scarlet, though your sins stand out against you, though that debt stands out against you, he says, I can wash them whiter than snow. And dear friend, tonight we look around at other people's lives, but I want you to look tonight at your own personal life. I want you to look at your life and compare it to the standard that God has set out in the Lord Jesus. And you find that you come far short, and your sins stand out against you. And the things that you've done wrong, and the things that you've said wrong and thought wrong, and even the things that you've missed, the opportunities that you've missed to do things that were right and didn't do, all these things stand out against you. And yet God still says, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. The Lord Jesus says, come unto me, all ye who weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As I said, people are running to and fro in this world, and maybe you are tonight, dear friend, running to and fro, trying to find your direction, your purpose. And the Lord Jesus is standing here tonight, quietly saying, come unto me, all ye who weary and are heavy laden, under the burden of your sin. Dear friend, if you're standing and sitting here tonight, knowing that you still carry the burden of sin, that heavy burden of sin, the words of the Lord Jesus are, come unto me, and I will give you rest. What a wonderful message it is in the gospel to know that you can come to somebody who has dealt with that burden of that you carry, and can, through his own precious blood, you can find that burden can be lifted, and that you can live a life down here now of peace and joy, and know that you will one day have a home with the Lord Jesus, with him in eternity. There's so much, dear friend, that God wants to give you tonight in the gospel. Come unto me, he says, the Lord Jesus says, come unto me. There's nobody else that's available tonight who can provide a way out, can provide salvation from the predicament that you find yourself in as a sinner before a holy God. There's nobody else, dear friend, that's a qualified sin saviour. Nobody that is willing and able except the Lord Jesus Christ himself. There's nobody else. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. There was a TV interview recently where somebody talked about my truth. And the world today is, truth has become so subjective. Truth has become very personal, and what I believe can be the exact opposite of what you believe, and yet we can both still believe the truth. And yet, dear friend, that goes completely against what the Bible says. Yeah. The Bible says that the Lord Jesus Christ is the truth. Mm-hmm. He is the way. He is the life. And there's no other name given under heaven amongst men whereby ye must be saved. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only way to salvation. So we get here, come, for all things are ready. Well, what was involved in getting things ready? What's involved in having set that foundation so that the invitation can go out? Well, I said at the beginning, it involved a great cost to God. It involved a great cost to his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because in order for us to be brought into this blessing, in order for us to know what it is, to know God as Father, to be able to be brought into his presence, having our sins completely washed clean, it involved a sacrifice being made on our behalf. And that's where the great design, the great plan of salvation comes in. Because in order for all things to be ready, it involved God having to give his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're reading in Luke's gospel here. We're halfway through this gospel, and the whole of this gospel and the whole of the four gospels speak about this person, the Lord Jesus Christ. Two of them speak about his incarnation, coming in here as a little baby. But you know, all four of them speak about his death on that cross at Calvary. All four of them speak about that sacrifice that was made on that cross so that God tonight has a righteous foundation whereby you and I can be brought into blessing and we can have our sins forgiven. That's how important it was. That's how central It is. So the whole gospel message is the death and the shedding of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because it's that, dear friend, that is what God has looked for. I think last time I preached here, we spoke about the blood being on the doorpost and the lintel. And it's when I see the blood, God was able to look upon that perfect sacrifice of Christ. And God was able to look on that, his own beloved son. And he was able to look on that blood and see that that perfect, sinless sacrifice enabled him to righteously come out towards you tonight in blessing. I often reference it, but it's a wonderful picture, that curtain in the temple ripping from the top to the bottom, that great tear down. God, who had been hidden, if you like, behind the curtain in the Holy of Holies, could now come out in blessing towards you and I tonight because of that sacrifice on that cross at Calvary. And what a cost was involved. You get small snippets of pictures, if you like, of how much it cost. Particularly, you see the Lord Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, anticipating what it would be to be that bearer of sin, to be made sin itself, so that God would have a righteous basis tonight to come out to bless you and to bless me. You get the feelings of the Lord Jesus come out in some of the Psalms. What it cost him, what it cost God, so that you tonight can come into blessing. And who are we to deserve such blessing? We are the people that have offended God. My sins stand as a great barrier between me and God, and I can't do anything about it. And yet God moves from his own side in the giving of his Son. Come, all things, for already all things are ready. And the invitation goes out. And tonight, dear friend, the invitation of the gospel has gone out. It's gone out week by week by week. And then look at the reaction we've got here from these first group of people. The excuses start to happen. You know, we're very good at excuses, aren't we? We don't like it, particularly if we're caught out in a situation. We're proved wrong about something. We make excuses. And human beings are very good at making excuses. Even from a very early age, if I catch one of my children doing something, but Daddy, Jude told me to do it. We like to blame somebody else, anything else. We make an excuse. The first two people in the Bible, when they sinned and God came and spoke to them, Eve said, well, the serpent made me do it. Adam said, well, Eve made me do it. The blame immediately tried to be shifted onto somebody else. And here we have some excuses as to why, when the invitation has gone out, should we not come and enjoy what God has provided at his own cost. And I'm not going to go through each and individual one, but we've got three here, quite ridiculous excuses. And we might look at them as ridiculous, and yet we're sitting here tonight having heard about the gospel, having heard about everything that God has done, and yet there any excuse that you can come up with, any reason why you think that you sitting here in your chair tonight shouldn't turn in repentance and faith, actually is just as ridiculous as the excuses that we read in this passage here. Because when you look at what God has actually done, when you look at the cost that was involved, when you look at the love that was involved in providing salvation for somebody like you and like me, unmerited sinners, what excuse possibly can we come up with? When you read something like Isaiah 53, and you read about how what was involved in the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, what does it say? But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We've turned every one to his own way, and Jehovah laid upon him the iniquity of us all. You read something like Philippians. You read what was involved there. Philippians chapter 2, where it says, Christ Jesus, who subsisting in the form of God, did not esteem it an object of rapine to be on an equality with God, but emptied himself, taking a bondman's form, taking his place in the likeness of men, having been found in the figure as a man, humbled himself, becoming obedient even unto death, and that the death of the cross. When you read about in Romans, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we read about the cost and the love that was involved in the giving of the Lord Jesus Christ, what reason can we possibly give not to respond positively to the invitation of the gospel that God is sending out tonight? I mean, honestly, what can we possibly say when we're presented with such love and such grace as what we find in the gospel? God has provided everything whereby you can come into blessing. God has given his only son. There's nothing more that God could give. He gave his beloved son to die on a cross, dear friend, so that you can come tonight and come to know him as a savior, God, and come to have your sins washed clean, a home in heaven, the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, a hope placed in your heart, peace and joy placed in your heart. You're brought into this group of people called Christians. You're brought into the church. You're brought to know God as a father. All that's been provided for by the giving and the work and the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And dear friend, tonight, I don't want you to sit here and think of excuse after excuse. You have to come to know him as a savior, God. Tonight, dear friend, is the night. He speaks later on in this passage about go out quickly. Dear friend, the urgency of the message is tonight that you have maybe one last final opportunity. God may be speaking to you one last final time. The message of the gospel will not go on forever. And I want to ask you, dear friend, urgently and sincerely, what is your excuse tonight? What's the reason that you're not coming in repentance and faith? What is your excuse? These people here, as I said, they had, before the first one, had a field he wanted to go and look at. The second one, he had some oxen he wanted to go and prove. And the third had just married. And you know, tonight, dear friend, the devil, the enemy, would try and place in your heart a million different things as to why you shouldn't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Whether it's your life lies ahead of you, you've got plenty of time. Whether it's things are more important, business, career. Whether it's you're more interest in your family. Whatever it is, dear friend, there's nothing that can come close to the importance of having your soul right before God. Whatever it is down here that is holding you back is temporary. We're talking tonight, dear friend, about your eternal soul. Solomon speaks in Ecclesiastes about how I hated all my labor, wherewith I've been toiling under the sun, because I should leave it unto the man that shall be after me. Everything you do down here, dear friend, you're going to have to leave at some point. And it will be passed on to somebody else. But the point is, it's all temporary down here. The gospel regards your eternal soul, your eternal destiny. And what is more important than that? There's no price that can be put on a soul. There's nothing more important, dear friend, for you to get sorted tonight than to get down on your knees and to repent and come in faith to a holy and a righteous God. There is nothing, dear friend, more important than that tonight. And yet these people here, they made their excuses. And so the message went out again, the invitation went out again to people that we would probably consider down and out. Poor, crippled, lame, blind, people that certainly back in this time in the Jewish society here were looked down upon. And then even further along, go out into the ways and the fences. Compel those to come in, that my house may be filled. Dear friend, the gospel message tonight goes out to everybody. The invitation of the gospel goes out to whosoever will, as we often say. It's everybody. The invitation is addressed to each and every person, personally in this room tonight, but it is addressed to everybody. Nobody is outside the remit of God's love. Nobody has done things too bad for God's love. What we find here, unfortunately, is people at the beginning, in picture, I suppose, of the Pharisees, people who thought possibly that they were too good. And I think that's probably the most dangerous position to be in. People that have been to church their whole life, brought up in a Christian home, possibly read their Bible on many, many occasions, and yet have never come to know that personal link between themselves and the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a really dangerous position to be in. To think that somehow through being around Christians, being brought up in a Christian home, that somehow it'll just happen and that everything will turn out fine. You can fool a lot of people in your life. You can fool your parents. You can fool your children. You can fool your brothers and sisters. But ultimately, and sometimes even you can fool yourself, but ultimately you can never fool God. God knows those that are His. And tonight, dear friend, He wants you. He wants you to be His. And you have the opportunity. Come, all things are ready. You have the opportunity tonight to come to know Him personally as your Saviour, as a Saviour God, and to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour. To look upon that man dying on that cross, shedding that precious blood, and perhaps for the first time tonight, realize that that was done for you. As I said, we've heard these messages. You've probably heard this passage preached on countless times. You've certainly heard about the cross and the sacrifice that was made upon that cross many, many times. But unless you take it for your own, it's just a story. Unless you make it your own, unless you really come and personally repent of your sins, unless you personally come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as a Saviour, it's immaterial. It makes no difference whether you know about the Lord Jesus. It makes an eternal difference whether you know Him and whether He knows you. That's the big difference. We all know about the gospel, about Jesus, about the sacrifice, about the cross. But dear friend, tonight I want to ask you personally, do you know personally the person that it is about? Do you know Him as your Saviour, as your friend, as your shepherd, as your guide, as your Lord? Or is He just somebody that you've grown up with and that's as far as it goes? Well, dear friend, the message of the gospel tonight goes out so that you can come to know Him personally as your Saviour. You see, God will have a house filled. God has given everything. And there is an almost, I suppose, an innumerable amount of people that have come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour. The house, dear, in this passage here, says, my house may be filled. And dear friend, tonight, I want you to be assured that you will be one of those number. You see, God has, as I said, given everything so that you can come into blessing. God has provided this great supper, this great salvation, this great blessing. And God desires you to come in and be part of it tonight. The invitation, as I said, has gone out. And you know, at the bottom of every paper invitation that's used to get for parties and things like that, it used to be RSVP at the bottom. And that means you need to respond. That means you have to say yes or no as to whether you're going to positively or negatively respond to that invitation. And dear friend, that's where the gospel message comes over to you. What's your response? Are you going to make an excuse? Are you going to sit here thinking, well, I've got a million different things I need to do in my life? Or, dear friend, you're going to realize that actually there is nothing more important than your soul and being right with God and respond positively to the invitation that God is sending out in the gospel tonight. It's your responsibility now, dear friend. Having heard the message of the gospel, it's your responsibility now what you do with it. Whether you go out of that door tonight thinking that that's not for you, whether you go out of that door tonight thinking that you'll put it off for another week, or whether, dear friend, something is convicting your heart tonight, the Holy Spirit is working on your heart tonight, and you know that you're a sinner. You know that you're a sinner as away from God. And dear friends, you know that the only way out of the predicament that you find yourself in is by coming to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Saviour. You see, if you walk out of that door tonight without knowing Christ as your Saviour, that is the most dangerous position you'll ever find yourself in. Walking out of that door thinking that you'll get another opportunity. Walking out of that door indifferent. Walking out of that door indecisive. You see, there's really no grey area with the gospel. There's either a rejection of the message and a rejection of the Lord Jesus Christ, or an acceptation of what's presented in the gospel, and an acceptation of where you stand as a sinner, and an acceptation of where the Lord Jesus is as a perfect sin sacrifice and Saviour. There's no middle ground with the gospel. You're either, dear friend, sheltered under the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or you're in a perilous position tonight as still in your sins. But the remedy for that situation, the opportunity that is being presented to you tonight, is in that person, in the work and the worth of the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And dear friend, tonight I pray that before you leave those doors, before you leave your seat, you will have that assurance in your heart of knowing the Lord Jesus is your personal Saviour, knowing your sins have been dealt with, washed away completely, and that you now have a brand new life, a brand new heart, and you can now enjoy what God would want you to come into, all the blessings that are involved with salvation and knowing the Lord Jesus as your Saviour and your Lord. Ultimately, I think this passage here is a very solemn passage. There's some great joy at the end. But for those that missed out, he says, those men who were invited, they will not one of those men shall taste of my supper. Dear friend, tonight, don't miss your opportunity. Don't miss the great gift and the great giving that is being presented in the gospel tonight. As I said, this may be the last opportunity you have. God in his grace has given you perhaps one last opportunity to listen to his gospel concerning his son. Dear friend, don't put it off for another week. Don't put it off for another moment. But come, acknowledge your position as a sinner and know the Lord Jesus Christ as a personal sin-bearing Saviour. And so, dear friend, I just pray that before you do leave this room, that you'll come to know the person that this whole book speaks about, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you already know him, if you're sitting there thinking, well, I have the assurance in my heart of knowing the Lord Jesus as my personal Saviour, just pray that for me as well, that perhaps something of the warmth of the love and the giving and the great cost that it has been to God himself may warm our hearts once again. It's very easy to get cold, especially at the moment, I think, in the certain context that we are, to lose sight of what really matters, to lose our sense of the fire that should be in our heart burning for the Lord Jesus. And it's I think it's important as we hear the gospel week by week to realize what it cost for God to bring us into blessing. And now it's over to us as we spend the rest of our time down here. What are we doing with our lives in return to God? What fruit is there from my life, from your life, that I can bear back to give glory to God? So I just leave those thoughts with you. First of all, pray that anybody in this room that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ may do so. But secondly, if you have the assurance of knowing him as Saviour, that you may have that fire, I'm talking to myself more than anybody else, rekindled in my heart so that I can bear fruit to a holy and a righteous and a loving God who loves to see features of the Lord Jesus Christ in his people down here, for his name's sake. Amen.